Welcome to the Power Hour. I'm Adrienne Herbert, wellness coach, international speaker, and author. Each week, I speak to a variety of guests, from business founders to Olympic athletes, leading coaches, change makers, and innovators, to find out their daily habits, their rules to live by, and what motivates them to get up out of bed each day. Personally, I am on a mission to encourage, motivate, and inspire, so I hope that the Power Hour will help you to achieve your personal and professional goals. Coot Blackson, welcome to the Power Hour podcast. How are you?
Great, thanks. Thanks for having me.
I am really looking forward to this conversation. I've got so many big topics, actually, that I want to talk to you about. I know it's been a few months, actually, in the making, this interview. So I guess there's so much going on in the world right now. And both you and I have a passion for people, for encouraging, for motivating, and for helping people to really get the most out of life. So today, I'd love to talk to you about life's challenges and how we can better cope and how we can better face challenges and adversity. I want to talk about being present and actually what that really means, like what that means to try to experience things fully every day. I want to talk about happiness, love, really big topics today. So are you ready to dive in?
Yeah, let's take it wherever we flow.
Okay, so as I said, life's challenges. This is something that in the world right now, of course, there are lots of external challenges. So for some people, that might be economic challenges with the cost of living increasing, well-being challenges, people that are stressed, burnt out, anxious, lonely, political divide, racism, climate crisis. It's almost like we could list the things that are impacting and making us as a global, you know, collectively experience this external stress and pressure. Now, something that I read online that you said is stop hoping for challenges to end. Instead, develop the capacity to face those challenges and to expand your strength to deal with what may come. So that's where I'd love to start, really. What does that mean and how can we start to face life's challenges and be better prepared?
Yeah, you know, it's a big topic. It's a big question. Life isn't easy. Life isn't always simple. Life is often quite challenging. For me, and I can only speak from also just my experience and what I've been through and share that with people the best I can. I think when you understand the nature of something and truly embrace and understand the nature of something, it transforms your relationship with something. It transforms your relationship with life. And in so many ways, there's this maybe misconception or illusion that, you know, if I can just do this or master that or better this or get, then like the challenges of life will get easier and they'll suddenly stop. But if you look at any human being, especially those that did or accomplished greatness in a lifetime or had an impact on humanity and society, whether it's Mandela, whether it's Gandhi, whether it's Jesus, whether it's Buddha, whether it's, you know, Martin Luther King, whether it's Mother Teresa, they all face challenges. And just because they were who they were, it's not like life just rolled out the red carpet and everything disappeared and there were no more challenges. In fact, part of what made them who they were, part of what made them great, part of what made them powerful was they faced the challenges that life presented them. And those challenges were invitations. Those challenges were opportunities. Those challenges were like the gymnasium for their souls, for their personalities to develop the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, the psychological muscle and soul force to be able to be more prepared to live their purpose. So if you look at someone like Mandela, you know, here he is trying to help his people, help South Africa, you know, end apartheid, and he gets thrown into prison 27 years. That's called a major challenge. And yet, perhaps, like, what if he didn't go to prison for 27 years? Now, I don't wish that on him. That's a huge challenge. That's a massive challenge. That's a, like, for me, that's an unimaginable challenge. But perhaps it was that challenge that was so intense and so heavy that sculpted his being, sculpted his mind, that forced him to tap into and access parts of himself that he was not in touch with right in that particular moment. Challenges force us to tap into dimensions of ourselves that we're currently not in touch with so that we can access those parts and reveal those parts and activate those parts of someone like Mandela. I just imagine the level that he had to go to access forgiveness and courage and patience and perseverance and empathy so that he could come out and speak from the depth of beingness that could unite people together. Look, when you understand the nature of life, your relationship with life shifts. And, you know, just to take it, I always kind of come from a spiritual level. So just to take it to a spiritual level first and bring it back down to the human level, I first and foremost believe that we are souls. We're souls that incarnate into this human experience. We incarnate into this human experience because there are certain lessons that we are here to learn. There are certain lessons that our soul is seeking to learn. And to me, life is the university, the gymnasium, the university for our soul's evolution. So life is always going to be up, down, good, bad, positive, negative. So I tell people, don't look for infinite bliss and don't look for infinite peace in the world. Don't look for perfection in the world. Like if I can just learn these seven techniques, if I can just, you know, become enlightened, if I can just, then all the challenges will go away. That's not the nature of life and it's not the nature of the ocean because we live in a realm of duality. But then you understand that there is a place of true peace, of true freedom inside of ourselves at the depth of our being. The freedom is inside. And I think part of the should we say, the game of life. To me, life is a game. Life is a play. Life is a simulation. Life is an evolutionary opportunity. Part of the purpose and the game of life is to be able to find the freedom inside of the limitation, to find the freedom inside of this duality, inside of life. And so challenges are part of the play and the opportunity. And when you understand that, it frees you up to embrace it and look for the gift. And like when the waves come, rather than being like imagine you go surfing, right? And you're like, you're on the surfboard and the waves come and you're like, ah, damn, another wave. I just surfed the wave 2 minutes ago. Another one. No, if you look at the big wave surfers, right? Led Hamilton, Kelly Slater, they look for the big waves, right? They relish in the big waves. They're like, big wave, bring it on. And so this is life. This is life. And
so wow, so much in there, so much in there. I think the word that you maybe repeated about understand, when you understand these things, we're better able to, like you said, not resist and to expect it and to go with it. I think what I'd like to touch on though is I'm someone who I've faced struggle and challenges in my life, just like everybody else. Nobody is exempt from challenges and adversity, whether it's grief, whether it's failure, rejection. These are parts of life. However, I think that after something, someone's experienced something really difficult and challenging, they can reflect, and myself included, and think, oh yeah, years ago, that was really difficult and it made me, maybe I learned something about myself, or maybe I adapted to become more resilient, resourceful, whatever it is. However, when you're in the challenge, when you're facing it, when you're actually in the difficult, we talk, people talk about life's ups and downs. When you're in the down, that's when I think it's, people don't want to think then, oh, this is going to be a great lesson. Actually, when you're in it, you're thinking, I just want this to end. I want this to be easier. I can't face this challenge, especially things like grief. Yeah, I think that's when it's hard.
It's the resistance. Well, first you've got to understand the nature of it. Because if you understand, like I worked out with my trainer the other day and he kicked my ass and it was painful and it was hurting and I was crying, I was like, why am I? But I understood that I was developing a deeper level of strength, a deeper level of stamina. So when you're going through something, rather than saying, why is this happening to me? And resisting it, because what we resist, we tend to persist, and all lessons are repeated until learned. And so I think when we shift our relationship to something and we embrace it and we accept it, then we start looking for the growth opportunity. We ask ourselves, okay, even though this is difficult, fair enough, what is the opportunity? What is my soul seeking to learn? What is the lesson? What am I seeking to evolve through? What is this situation showing me about myself? What are the people showing me about myself? And I think when we focus on that level of the experience, then we learn the lesson. And I think when we learn the lesson where we are with who we're with in a given situation, knowing that the situation is trying to teach us something and we're seeking to learn something, when we learn the lesson, that's often when that's the key to unlock the door to the next level of experience. And that's when we tend to graduate that particular experience and that particular challenge. And when we learn that lesson and move through that challenge, we expand. We expand. And so our capacity grows, our capacity to handle more that level of challenge grows. But then, you know, we graduate to the bigger challenge, right? And we graduate to the bigger wave, like the big wave surfers. Led Hamilton, he's not surfing a 2-foot wave anymore. He's mastered the 2-foot wave. Now he's looking for the 100-foot wave. With each challenge, your capacity grows. With each difficulty, your capacity grows. And then you expand. And to me, that's what really where our focus should be. How do we expand our capacity, our bandwidth, our presence to be able to ride bigger and bigger waves? You know, every time we do that, every time we transcend our reactivity, every time we learn the lesson in a given situation, every time we unhinge ourselves from victimhood, we expand ourselves. We step into another dimension of our greatness. And to me, the challenge is a gift. So we have to start focusing on, okay, what's the gift in this experience? Because usually it's after the experience, years later, that we look back and go, wow, that was a blessing. So I think to me, part of the freedom is actively practicing to look for the blessing in the situation. And when we start looking for the blessing in the challenge, that's when we also start to activate and tap into the resources inside of us to handle that situation.
Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. And you know, I agree that there is a lesson. There is a lesson. There is the bigger the struggle, the bigger the strength. And I think when you're in it, as I mentioned before, this has been my experience anyway. That was when, you know, you don't really want to hear the, that's when you're not opening up your mind to the different possibilities. That's when you're not, you know, listening to the motivation or reading the books, or that's when you're like, you know what, I can't hear it. But then later on, I think that actually, even if, when something's difficult, you don't have to necessarily be grateful for it and think, oh, this is going to be such an amazing lesson. But I do think sometimes just acknowledging, I remember thinking once, I never want to feel this feeling again, or I never want to experience this again. And just having that, just that fuel, that little fire in your belly that goes, it lights something up that whether it's to work harder, whether it's to whatever it is, the change that needs to come. For me, having that feeling when something's difficult of thinking, I never want to feel this feeling again, that is a powerful enough feeling. You don't have to, like I said, when you're facing something really challenging, like a loss or a grief, think, oh, well, this is going to be great in a few years' time. I think at the time, just kind of, you know, I mentioned at the start, I wanted to talk to you about being present. Again, I know this is something that you've written about, but for me, being present is something I struggle with. I'll be honest. I'm a future thinker. Yeah. I love innovation. I think about next month's goals, next year's goals. I encourage other people to plan and to, I often say to people, actively participate in your life. So plan what you want to do and then go and make it happen. But I think a trade-off, I suppose, to that is it is very difficult for someone like me to be present and to just go, okay, this is where we're at, this is what we're doing, without having that one eye on the future. So talk to me about what it really means to be present when things are good, when things are bad, every time, and how, and maybe why actually we find that so difficult in the modern world.
Yeah, look, I think there's, to be honest, you know, there's nothing wrong with planning. I think planning is beautiful. You can plan all you want. That doesn't mean those plans will happen. I think, in fact, if we really look at our lives, many of the best things, at least I look at my life, and I've had an amazing life. I've created a lot, manifested a lot, some amazing results. But many of the best things in my life, in many of our lives, have happened without our planning. You know, like when you met your soulmate, or you met that person, or that thing happened, many of them we didn't plan. We were just in the process of living. Like, very few of us, we said, okay, I'm going to go down to the coffee shop today at 6 p.m. I'm going to meet the man or the woman of my dreams, you know, in the park at the coffee shop at 6 p.m. It just kind of happened, you know, in the process of living. And I think sometimes the danger can be that we're so focused on the goal, we're so focused on where we're going, we're so focused on what we achieve, that we miss the moment, we miss the journey, we're not present. And so even when we get to where we think we're going to go and that place that we think is going to bring us happiness, it's never really fulfilling, because even when we, because number one, we've missed the entire process and the journey. And even when we get there, we're not really there. We're never really there when we're there, because we're then, when we get to the mountaintop, we're busy thinking of where we're going to go next. So we're never really anywhere. And then we die. And then life is over. It's like, shit, where did the last 10 years go? And we missed the whole experience. And then, and in that, we don't fully, shall we say, squeeze the joy and the fullness, the totality out of the experience and out of the moment. And so I say, yes, plan. But the key is, don't get attached to those plans. Because many times when we plan and we set goals, great, go for it. Know what you want. Get what you want. Go for it. But many times you might get what you thought you wanted, only to realize that what you thought you wanted was not what you really wanted. It was just what you thought you wanted based on who you thought you were. And many times our plans and our goals and our dreams, nothing wrong with them, can be limitations, or shall I say projections, of even unmet needs from our childhood, thinking if I can achieve that thing, then I'm going to be finally happy. And then when we get that, we realize we're not happy. So I say, align with what is true in your soul, because your soul will never guide you wrong. Your soul has a deeper intelligence than the mind, which is constantly strategizing and planning. And so when you align with what's true, then you can go into planning. Then you move into strategy. Then you can align your ego, your mind, your thoughts, your thinking, your experience, your resources, your money, your strategizing, your planning in alignment with your deeper soul's intention. Then you're working in harmony with life rather than limiting life. And I think that's kind of the right relationship. And so plan, but don't get attached.
I really like this, don't get attached to the plan and also the outcome. But I think for me, as I said, you know, we all are who we are, aren't we? And sometimes we can do our best, of course, to unlearn things, to challenge ourselves, to change, to grow. I'm a big advocate of that, you know, growth mindset and just being open. And actually, even with the planner that lives within me, the planner, I still know that I have, I suppose my mindset is, and I'll be honest, you know, it's abundant, actually. So when you're talking about, you know, not having limitations, that's something that I say to people. And I think that sometimes it could be too much. People, they're like, what, is she mad? Because I just genuinely, I'm like, I've said to somebody, well, quite a few people in my life, what if your biggest goal, what if the thing you're telling me that you want me to help you to plan or to achieve in the next 12 months, what if your biggest goal is 10 times too small? And sometimes people think like, oh, Adrienne, come on. And they know me, but I'm like, no, I'm going to challenge you to think bigger. I'm going to challenge you to believe that you can achieve more than that. And it's not because, oh, bigger is better or more. It's not that attitude, but it's just an abundant attitude that, as you said, you know, your life can be. I think sometimes people don't really believe that it's possible for them, or they think that, you know, if you dream too big, you're going to don't get your hopes up in case you don't make it. Or, you know, we want to kind of preserve ourselves. But I often say, well, you know what, get your hopes up. I get my hopes up all the time. And if it doesn't work out, or if you don't get the job, or you don't get the thing, you'll get over it. We're adults. I'm a big girl, but I get my hopes up quickly. I'm like, get your hopes up, get excited about your life.
Absolutely. The other thing you'd mentioned, the whole thing of being present, right? And and I think for me, that is such an important thing, that the danger in pursuing goals and chasing goals to get to a certain place is we miss the moment and we're not fully experiencing what's here now. And, you know, I'll be honest, for most of my life, I felt this drive to impact people and inspire people. And for the last, I would say, 2 decades, been very obsessed traveling the world with that intention, and blessed to have had an impact on people's lives around the world. And I really learned this lesson in a very deep way when my mother was diagnosed with stomach cancer. And I got a phone call, Adrienne, in 2016. I was on a high traveling the world on the road 200 days a year, and inspiring people and best-selling book, and just was on Larry King. And, you know, life has a way of humbling you. And I get this phone call, and I'm told my mother, and my mother was everything to me. She raised me, you know, was my best friend growing up. And so this was the closest person to me. And, you know, when you get that kind of phone call, it really hits you. And so I began flying back and forth from LA to London, where she lived. And every month I would fly back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And Now, bear in mind, I never had time to spend with her and just hang out with her and just be with her because I was too busy impacting and inspiring people and trying to fulfill my destiny and my goals, right? And so all of a sudden, here I am, every month, flying to London from LA, staying for a week, taking care of her, sitting with her for 8 to 9 to 10 hours in chemo, holding her hand, taking her for walks, feeding the fish in the garden, sitting with her while she made the dishes. And I'm telling you, it changed my life. That year changed my life because as I sat with her in chemo for 8 hours, and we talked about nothing and everything, I began to see that I hadn't sat with my mother for this amount of time, for a few hours, since I was in my teens, you know? And it really hit me like, damn, I missed out on so many of these ordinary, simple moments. I saw that as my mother was washing the dishes or she'd make a cup of tea and I sat with her without any agenda, just being with her, looking into her eyes and hearing her laughter, like, wow, I have missed out on just these simple moments because I didn't have time. All the, you know, the holidays I missed out on, I didn't come back because I didn't have time. And nothing wrong with pursuing a goal and being ambitious and all of that. Go for it. I'll tell everyone I did. I don't regret it. But in that moment, I'll be honest, when faced with the reality of death, when faced with the reality that my mother was going to die and I would never see her again, so many of the things I thought were important just kind of paled in comparison. The only regret, and I've achieved a lot. I've made money. I've manifested crazy stuff. The only regret that I had in my heart in that moment, the only regret wasn't like, oh, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I spend more time with my mom? Like, why did I, and why did I wait till she was dying and it was too late to spend more time with her? And I felt so like humbled because, you know, I thought I had time. Like when I achieve that thing and when I make that thing and when I get that to that level that I think, you know, I see myself getting to, then I'm going to take her on the vacations and do this and do that. And in that moment, I realized so many plans I had would never happen because she wasn't going to be around. And that for me, you know, really hit me hard because I saw that I missed out on so many. I wasn't present to so many of the ordinary moments of life. And life is made up of the ordinary, you know? Life is made up of those moments of lying in bed. Life is made up of the moments of taking the walk. Life is made up of those moments of having a cup of tea and just looking into someone's eyes. And when we miss out on those moments, we miss out on life and we miss out on the journey. And so I would just invite everyone in the pursuit of dreams, like savor the moment, enjoy the moment, grow in, because it's who we become in the moment and how we love in the moment and what we've learned in the moment, that's the process. Whether you achieve the goal and the plan or not, the achievement of the plan is only like 1%. The other 99% are the moments. And so celebrate the moments. That's what I would say.
Wow, that's really, really beautiful. And thank you for sharing that with us. And especially what stood out to me was, so as someone who talks a lot about time, you know, the power hour concept is really all about, not about, again, squeezing in more, but actually just being intentional with the time that you have. And when you mentioned then you thought you had time, you know, we're all guilty, I'm sure, of doing that. So often we think, you know, I'll have more time next week, or I'll have more time next month, or I'll have more time when I have made more money, or when my kids are older, or as you say, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And often it stays tomorrow until we realize that we have run out of time, and those things that we thought we were going to do, or the people we're going to visit, or even our children. You know, my son is growing up so quickly. It's his birthday in a few days. And I think that is something that I'm acutely aware of as a parent, is that you think you have time to do things, and then you have children and you realize, I'm like, wow, every, as you mentioned, the ordinary moments with my son, I savor those. And I think if I could do that, you know, in other areas of my life, in my work, in travel, but that is something that really slows down time actually for me, is doing things ordinary things that he enjoys, and often as well, I'll be honest with you, I'm sure lots of parents feel this. I do things with my son that he enjoys that I don't enjoy at all. I can think of two examples. Yep. One is swimming. I really don't enjoy swimming. I never have, but I will go swimming and I'll pretend that I enjoy it. I'll get in the water. I'll get my hair wet. I'll go underneath. I'll go to the beach and I'm like, okay, cool, we're doing this. And I do not like swimming. The second one is WWE wrestling. Now, my son loves to watch it. I do not. But what I've learned is, if you always want your children to enjoy the things that you enjoy so that you can have fun together or so that you can, then you're going to limit what those things are. If it was just the things that I like, but actually doing the things that they like, you bond with them on such another level and you get into their world. And even if I don't care about WWE wrestling, but just sitting on the couch with him and he's saying, oh, this is this person and look at this and this person. And you just sit there, go into their world, and the time, it could be 20 minutes, it could be 2 hours, it just passes. So yeah, I think I'm going to really remember that feeling and that exactly what you said. I thought I had more time. That is really, really powerful.
Yeah, and I think when people remember, for me, this has really helped. Like, you are going to die. We're going to die. And to meditate on your death. I think many times as human beings, we live like we're going to live forever. And we do everything we can in the Western world to sanitize our lives to the point where we try to pretend that we're not going to die and death is not around us. But if you can meditate on your death and feel your death, not as a morbid thing, like you're going to die. Bruce Lee died, Muhammad Ali died, Jesus died, Buddha died, Mother Teresa died, Mandela died. Every great human being has died. This is the nature of life. It is coming. None of us know when that moment will meet us. And I hope we all live a long life. But the people in shootings last month or 9/11 or natural disasters, they didn't know that they weren't going to come home that day and look their loved ones in the eyes and say, hey, I love you. You mean a lot to me. Forgive me. And so I would just invite everyone to really hold death close, not as a morbid thing, but just as a reality of life. And if you really hold death close and feel that, then it can sober you up so quickly, because many of the things we waste time on and hold on to kind of fall into perspective when we think about death and is this how I want to die? And so if death came today, would we be ready? And if not, why not? And what would you need to, let me ask it this way, what would you need to do? What would you need to say? What would you need to communicate? What would you need to express? What would you need? Who would you need to forgive? Who do you need to pick up the phone and call right now so that if death came, you could be complete? Because I think when we die and we meet our maker, whatever you might believe, you can't go to God and just say, hey, can I get a refund on those 2 years that I wasted in that job? Or can I get a refund on those, that year I wasted in that relationship? There's no refunds. Once it's gone, it's gone. And so how would you need to live in such a way? The best you can. It's not going to be perfect. But to really feel like every second is freaking, it's really precious. And I think the older I get, the older we get, we start realizing, we don't have too many more of these left. Maybe we have less of these than we had before. And so how would I need to live in such a way that if death came, I'd have no regrets? And so feel death close, honor it, and use the reality in the nature of life to remind you of the preciousness of every moment and fully experience it. Because I think we have one opportunity, as at least as this version of us.
Yeah. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Well, that's kind of the perfect segue into my power hour concept. So the concept of the power hour is very simple. For me, it is the first hour of each day. I call it a power hour because I believe it's incredibly powerful. And if you use it and utilize it and make sure that, you know, you try and eliminate distractions and you try and keep that time for yourself, for me, it's had a huge, huge impact on my life. And since writing the Power Hour book, I'm really, really happy to say that, you know, I hear from other people how they're embracing the concept as well. So it's the first hour. You wake up in the morning. We both, you know, we all have a chance and a choice, you know, every day. It's like, okay, it's a new day. What chance do I have? What choice am I going to make? So I'd love to hear from you, Coot, about your morning, your first hour. If you have a power hour, I'm sure you have a morning routine. What does the first hour of your day include?
Yeah, it's really simple. For me, it's nothing like crazy, but it is very, very consistent and non-negotiable. Regardless of the circumstance. Basically, every morning I wake up wherever I'm at, and that first hour pretty much is, I mean, the first couple of minutes are just spent, typically 5 minutes lying in bed and just allowing my awareness to come into my body and feeling gratitude for my body and sending that gratitude energy into the rest of my day so that all of my day and actions are connected to a feeling of gratitude and inspiration. And then I'll just get up and I'll exercise. And for me, the first, literally the first hour is spent exercising. Some form of physical exercise. This morning I went for an hour run. And that wakes my body up, gets my body working, gets the energy, the chi flowing, gets my brain working. And so it's exercise. And for me, that just sets the foundation for my day. And then sometimes I'll meditate in the morning. If I don't meditate in the morning, I'll meditate in the afternoon. But the first hour is just a simple, consistent form of exercise and, you know, drinking my green powder and protein. And that starts my day. Very simple.
Yeah. Well, so you said it's non-negotiable regardless.
Non-negotiable. I don't care if I have to be at the airport at like 6 a.m., which means I have to leave at like 4:30. That means I wake up at 2:30.
Right.
It might mean I'm doing a 12-day event in Bali and sleeping 3 hours a night. And so I'll wake up at, you know, 4 a.m. and do my exercise. It's like, it's non-negotiable no matter what. The only time I can't do it is if I'm literally on a flight for, you know, 14 hours.
Yeah. Do you have any other things in your life that are non-negotiable in that sense that you're like, no matter what happens, I'm just going to make this happen?
I think some of the other things is I don't do daily. I just kind of do few times a week as I feel, but I used to do daily, but now it's more just a little more fluid. I journal, which is just a process of just spewing my thoughts out and releasing my thoughts and processing feelings and thoughts and intuitions on the page. Typically every day I'll meditate at some point, and what's non-negotiable is doing it. What's negotiable is when. And so it might be a bit in the afternoon, might be in the evening. But it's just sitting quietly, peacefully, allowing my awareness to rest down. And that's also something that is super important. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I'm writing a lot at the moment. And of course, I know that you have a brand new book. So can you tell us all about the book? When is the book? Is the book out already?
Yeah, the book is out. It's been out, but the paperback just came out a few weeks ago. And the book is called The Magic of Surrender. This was not the book. Talk about planning. This was not the book I thought I was going to write. This was definitely not the book I wanted to write. This was not the book I planned to write. But this was the book that was seeking to be written. And so I had to surrender to the book about surrender. And I had my other plans. I had my own agenda. But none of those... And I wrote probably hundreds of different topics and titles on a whiteboard, and none of those ideas really felt authentic. None of those ideas felt like in alignment with my soul. The only word that stood out on that whiteboard was surrender, and that's what lit me up, and that's what I had to surrender to. So the book is called The Magic of Surrender.
Great. Well, I'm going to add that to my reading list for this week, because I actually thought that the book was coming out soon, but that was my mistake. So the book is out now. And what has the response been so far?
It's been amazing. Honestly, it's amazing. I'm really excited about surrender because I believe that with what we're going through, you know, you mentioned the challenges of the world. I think with what we're going through on the planet, especially the last couple of years, I feel as though humanity has been thrown into a surrender seminar, you know, pandemics and, you know, wars and, you know, issues politically and shootings and uncertainty and lockdowns. It's like we've been thrown into a surrender seminar. And I feel as though as a humanity, consciousness wise, we are being initiated into a whole new way of living, shifting from the egoic, ego based model of the world to a more a way of living that is more in alignment with our souls, more in harmony with life, more in harmony with nature, which is really about living surrender and allowing life, this intelligence of life that has been around for billions of years, to guide us. And so I'm really excited and passionate about the topic of surrender, because I think in our culture today, there's this misconception that surrender is giving up, surrender is waving the white flag, that to surrender was weak, that to surrender was passive, that if you surrender, you're going to be a doormat, you're going to get left behind, you're going to be a victim, you won't manifest your goals, dreams, and desires, that you're going to, you'll get less in life if you surrender. And I'm actually saying, no, no, if you surrender, what if you got more? More than you could have even intended or even imagined for yourself? What if you got beyond your wildest dreams? And so surrender is to take the limitations off of life. It's to let go of control or the illusion that we're in control. I think control is the master addiction. Surrender is to stop trying to force life to fit our limited idea of how we think it should be. And it's to be open and available to the infinite possibilities, is to let go who we think we should be, the life we think we should be living, so that we can be available to the life that is truly seeking to happen, truly seeking to express. I look at someone like Mandela. That's not a life that you could have strategized. That's his is a life that I don't think you could have figured out. But through surrender, I think all of the great ones like Mandela, Jesus, Buddha, you know, Mother Teresa, the folks I listed, all of the great ones, they surrendered themselves. At some point, they surrendered themselves to life, to their purpose, to the universe, to their soul's calling. And when they surrendered, they transcended their own selves. They went beyond their own personal power. They tapped into a dimension of their being that was infinite. And in surrendering, life was able to use them and manifest through them in ways that I think they could not have even imagined for themselves. And so I think that surrender is the password to freedom. Surrender is the key to the next level. Surrender is the real secret to manifestation. And that if you want more magic in your life, then surrender is that key. And so for me, that's the invitation through the book. It's a roadmap giving people the phases and the steps and basically a roadmap in how do you surrender.
Wow. So powerful. Honestly, I feel like this interview, I'm going to listen to it again. I'm going to listen to it again and write notes. I've really enjoyed it. And the last thing that I took away from that message as well was that it's incredibly humbling, actually, when things are out of our control. Like, given, as you said, control is the thing that we feel like we want during the pandemic. Perfect example of things that were out of our control, and how it's so humbling when you think this is my life and my plans, and I'm going to go and do my business and do my things. And actually, how humbling it was, you know, how humbling it was for so many people to say, actually, sometimes, like it or not, sometimes the control is taken away and we do have to kind of reassess and go, okay, here we go. You know, when actually I said to you earlier on that I'm very interested in future and innovation. I listen to a lot of futurists and doctors that actually were talking about future pandemics. And, you know, it's not to say that in a decade or two, we might not face something far worse, which, you know, let's hope that we don't. But there are only so many things that we as human beings, we think that we run the show, you know, we run the planet, we run it all. But really, it's incredibly humbling to consider surrender in that way. So thank you so much for sharing that and for being a guest and joining us today. I've really, really enjoyed this conversation.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
And thank you, everyone, as always, for tuning in. I'm sure this conversation and Kute has given you so much food for thought. And if you've enjoyed it, then please do let us know. And of course, share it with somebody else. Have an awesome week. Stay safe. And I'll be back next week with another episode.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.